I'm Gab, he's Jules, blue skies over West London. Wow, another huge weekend. A lot of controversy between Newcastle and Arsenal and referees and VAR and Arteta. We'll be getting to that. Milan losing. Barcelona almost dropping points. Should have dropped points probably. Real Madrid not winning. I mean, seriously.
It was mad.
We'll get into the big story, which is Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich. But, by the way, we have Nice, maybe Spurs tonight as league leaders.
Girona
and Bayer Leverkusen. I think four out of those five totally unexpected in the big five. How about that?
Yeah,
how about
amazing.
That? But let's start at the Clásico. Now, I have developed a theory here, which is if you're Bayern, if you're doing badly, like say happened last April when the club is a mess and you sack Nagelsmann amid recrimination of spying and Topalovic and Hasan Salihamidzic and infighting and whatever. And you're really at sixes and sevens. What do? You go play Borussia Dortmund. And we're in the same situation again. Now they get knocked out of the Pokal and everybody's glum. Tuchel's weird. Tuchel's picking fights with Mateus and blah, blah, blah. TV pundits wasting way too much airtime on
this.
So, and you have a trip to the Westfalen.
Yeah.
And that's just to pick me up by knee because Dortmund spot them two games.
Exactly. And we get excited, Gab, every year, every season for the Clásico, all the time, thinking, oh, yeah, we have a game. This is going to be great. And then this happens all the time. 2-0 down Dortmund after 10 minutes, Bayern walking all over them. They could have won 6-7-1, maybe because Dortmund could have had a goal, to be fair to them. But there was just no match. And you get excited. You still would watch it, even if you knew that Bayern would wipe the floor with them. But you get excited before thinking, okay, maybe we want a good game.
Yeah.
No, one-sided game like we saw.
2-0 down inside of 9 minutes. The yellow wall silenced. And by the way, so last time it was, you know, Kobel who malfunctioned in the Dortmund goal. This time it was Schlotterbeck.
That's not just him.
No. But early on. But we're talking about something that sets a tone, right?
Yeah.
And this is what gets me about Dortmund. We've been praising them. Look, they look more solid. They found the right balance with Schlotterbeck's playing really, really well. And he's leading that defense. They look more solid. You know, if they don't get results, it's because things happen elsewhere. Yeah, it's not the Keystone Cops defending.
Hummels as well. We've praised Hummels this season.
Okay, so he's marking his job. He's a center back. His job is to mark the man who's the size of a building, right? Yeah. Dayo Upamecano.
On a corner,
right? And the camera zooms in on his face and he's laughing and chit-chatting.
He's talking to Upamecano. I don't know what he's saying to him.
I don't know, but he's having a right giggle.
With 3 minutes in.
The ball comes in. Upamecano just runs away from him and scores.
I can't, Gab. I promise you, if I was a coach at that level, this would drive me absolutely mad. And I think Schlotterbeck is a good player, but good players can't do things like this. I don't care. You can't. I would rather him just concede a penalty even than letting Upamecano with a free header in this game after 3 minutes, which literally kills your game plan, kills so many things. It's just, I don't understand them.
Pretty horrendous defending on the second goal as well, giving the ball away when you're uncovered. And look, that just, you're right. That killed the game. Now,
Completely. We
also need to give some praise to Bayern because this is still a bounce back from, I mean, you're gifted two goals. I look at this though and I say, all right, what have I actually learned about Bayern? And what I've learned is obviously all fortitude and mentality, fine. But also, supposedly.
Not even sure about that.
But also that if they're in the lead and they decide to be more conservative, and with Tuchel, they definitely are more conservative.
Yeah.
And they say, like, all right, we have a lead. Let's play on the counter, see what happens.
Exactly.
They will absolutely destroy you because Harry Kane on the counter, I mean, he was born to do this after those years with Mourinho and Conte. Leroy Sané is the fastest things on two legs. I mean, he's unplayable right now. Musiala with his trickery.
And Coman as well. They have the perfect players for that. It's not how you expect Bayern to play, though. And I'm still disappointed when I see them collectively as a team. But it's so effective. We saw again Galatasaray. We saw again against Dortmund. They could have scored more, should have scored more, maybe. It was just brilliant to watch. And it was helped by many mistakes made by Dortmund, of course. And they were chasing the game. But Harry Kane is just incredible, man. 15 goals after 10 games, 5 assists. There's only... So the Gladbach game that they won 2-1 where he didn't score or assist. The Freiburg game, he didn't score, but he assisted. And I think the Copenhagen game in the Champions League where he didn't do either again. But apart from that, every game, there's been something.
I think he's, what, 3 hat-tricks this season, something like that. It's crazy. We're gonna get into this. We're going to tell you why Thomas Tuchel is still a bundle of nerves. I think this is basically his, like, normal state of being. We're going to get into that, look a little more at Dortmund on the Gavin Jules Show. All right, Jules, let's stick to this point.
Yeah.
Because to me, this is still an incomplete Bayern team. And not just to me, but to Lothar Matthäus and Didi Hamann. They were absolutely... vicious.
They said that it hasn't improved since Tuchel took over.
Yes, he says the squad is not developing.
Yeah,
and look, Tuchel obviously really took it to heart. And
did he answer back? Well, I don't think Matthäus and Hamann have also progressed since I took. He kind of threw it back at them or something.
He did. Yeah, he's like, I don't think they've developed as pundits and whatever. Yeah. But we need to give some context to us. So. There's different things there's different situations in different countries, right? In Italy, for example, you often get ex-players of a club turned pundits who kind of tend to give the club the benefit of the doubt, you know, until the worm turns and then everybody piles on to the manager. I think in Spain, that's pretty much undeniable.
Yeah.
Certainly at Real Madrid. Again, until the mood changed. I think of when Jose Mourinho was at Real Madrid the first time, right? At the beginning, the first 2 years, when he was doing well, when he wasn't fighting with Casillas and club legends and everything,
He
could do no wrong, right? And then when they all decided they hated him, everybody went and crucified him.
Yeah, including
We see this here a lot. Same thing, like, oh, let's all get, you know, obviously there's so many Manchester United fans, ex-players, and it's like, oh, give Ten Hag time, and then they turn, like they turn. It's understandable. Something in Germany, there's a slightly different tradition, especially Bayern. They are absolutely ruthless. Yeah. Part of me really respects that.
Yeah, me too. I like it.
I also think it probably makes it very difficult to play there, because all these guys, whether it's Matthäus or Hamann, I think obviously they think that when they were playing, like, everything went swimmingly, maybe. Or maybe they hold Bayern to such high standards. Yeah. From day one, they will be hypercritical if they think they should be hypercritical. They don't
care. And also, like you, I think a lot of people in Germany believe that sacking Nagelsmann was wrong anyway. That, in a way, maybe it's not so much who came after, although now Tuchel is the target, but it's more than that Nagelsmann should still be in charge.
Whatever the case, this has obviously gotten inside Tommy Tuchel's head. Yeah. You know, I said he was a bundle of nerves at Chelsea.
Which he was.
Yeah. Part of me wonders if he hasn't gotten worse. Now, you had the incident before the game where, you know, he says, well, they haven't developed as pundits. Yuck, yuck, yuck. And then 3-0 up, you figure, all right, dude, you've won the game. You're 3-0 up, away from home. Game. Dortmund are horrendous. What does he do? He starts arguing with the referee and he gets himself booked.
Yeah.
After the game, and this is great television. I'm going to put a link to it in my musings column. It's on YouTube, even if you don't speak German. It's worth checking this out just to see Tuchel's face and Matthäus' face. So basically, Lothar Matthäus is a pundit for Sky Germany, who are the rights holders. And contractually, Tuchel has to come to their little table.
Yeah, pitch side,
and answer questions. So he comes in, he kind of gives like a handshake and a half embrace to Matthäus. And I guess the guy congratulates him a little bit. And he says, and he like turns and his eyes are like little dots. And he's like, yeah, well, despite the fact that the team hasn't developed and despite the terrible coach that
he was going to have a dig.
Oh, my God.
I know, but he's fair.
And he's going back for it. And then at one point, he's like, well, then I don't need to, like, he takes his earpiece off. Like, he doesn't want to. And he does shake Matthäus' hand again when he leaves, but
he's pumped. Even the celebrations after the goals, to be fair, the third and the fourth one, I'm like, come on. He celebrated like if it's the last-minute winner in a Champions League final or something.
But, okay, is it fair, though? Has this team developed? Is this team better than they were under?
Collectively, no. Collectively, they're not. Collectively, they're not playing better than under Nagelsmann. There's nothing collectively. We've said that all along, all season. There's just not... they don't play as a team. But because they are so brilliant individually, and when you've got Sané in that kind of form, and Kane, of course, and Coman, and Musiala, even if defensively he's still a bit shaky.
Well, De Ligt wasn't there.
Yeah, De Ligt wasn't there, but your De Ligt fanboy. But Upamecano came, he's still a very good pair of centre-back.
But neither one is De Ligt.
No, true. And Manuel Neuer is back now as well. They don't play well as a team. And yet it worked against Dortmund because Dortmund were very naive the first 10 minutes. We said that because then they let all that space. We said that. Go back to a team that sit much deeper with a much lower block, that doesn't give you much.
Don't go 2-0 down after 9 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually strong on set pieces. And Bayern struggle. Like, they struggle in quite a few games this season.
That's the thing. I mean, Tuchel pointed out that they were undefeated in the Bundesliga and blah, blah, blah. It's all fair. Those are facts. Mm-hmm. It's also a fact that they're not in first place. And, you know, I think they were 4 points clear at the top when he took over last season from Nagelsmann. That's right.
And they should have lost the title last season. And it was a miracle.
Dortmund threw the title away last season. There's no Kimmich, but then again, when Kimmich is there, you feel like Tuchel's not getting the best out of Kimmich. They're obviously better with Kimmich. I thought Leimer, the much maligned and criticized Leimer, did his job well.
I agree.
Goretzka was devastating, but again, Goretzka, because of his injuries, isn't somebody that you can rely on. But you're right, Jules, there is such a gap in quality. I mean, if we did the combined 11, let's not bother doing this, but... Sorry, in fact, let's do this. Which Dortmund player, and when everybody's fit on both teams, which Dortmund player gets into
the
combined?
It's because you're not happy by the team they used to be and the team they are now. But the fact is, you can't get Bellingham every 3 years once you sold one. Same with Haaland, Gabi. Same with Hakimi. Maybe even same with
Guerrero.
No, but maybe. Okay, Guerrero might be the only one where they could have got a better left back than Riasson. Whoever they can have potentially a left back. I don't know who's the other option.
You go from Hakimi and Guerrero to...
Wolf and Riasson.
I mean...
Okay. But Bellingham and Haaland are generational
talent.
Yeah. So you can't... You just sell one, but you'll have to wait another 10 years to... If you're lucky, get another similar.
That's fine. So maybe this is still the second biggest team in Germany.
Yeah,
this is still the team that
has Fulkrug at the front. Yeah.
You mentioned Fulkrug, but we spent years... praising them. Oh, look, they're so good at developing talent, and Pulisic and Mkhitaryan and this and that, whatever. Yeah.
They've lost
that touch. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Also, what do they develop? When you go and you do the Salzburg thing of signing the best, you know, U16s in the world, hey, look, of course, some of them are going to pan out. But what I find really disappointing about this is, A, the fact that they had looked more solid. And I thought, and I believe in Edin Terzic, they're behind this nonsense, that they left all this stuff behind. But what gets me about this is, if you're going to play with Niklas Füllkrug as your center forward, and by the way, let's not forget, they spent a ton of money on Sebastian Haller, and now they realize what they don't like him anymore, right?
Yeah.
They nurse him back to health, and we don't need you, right? Yeah. Give Mukoko a new contract, blah, 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 blah. We need freaking Niklas Füllkrug up front.
Yeah.
You're going to play with Füllkrug, that's fine. You need patterns of play to get the ball in the box.
Yeah.
They didn't have that. At all.
No.
The pattern of play amounts to wait for Brandt and Malin to do something.
Yeah.
And if they have a bad game, which can happen, they're not bad players and they've been playing fine this season. If they have a bad game, there's nothing there. The midfield, we praised them. Emre Can, he brought balance. Okay, he's not there and everything.
Would things have been better had he been there? Because we said against Newcastle, for example, it was probably better. It was actually not a bad thing for them to lose him than to actually have him. In this game, it looked bad without him, to be fair.
It looks... I think Emre Can is critical to what they do. Maybe one day Oshkan will progress. But no, by Oshkan's...
No, it's not the same.
Is Emre Can's floor. So when I look at this, if I were a Dortmund fan, I would be really, really unhappy. Because this brings back all the ghosts. This psychologically, I think, is a massive blow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But psychologically, there's something against Bayern, Gab. It can't be, because it looks like they are terrified every time. Like you said at the start of the show, they look terrified every time they play them. The mistakes set pieces. It looked like they have sorted out all their issues on defensive set pieces, because last season, even the season, especially the season before, they used to concede all the times on PC. This time it's better. You play Bayern after 3 minutes, first set piece, you concede a goal. So it looked, I don't know, it looked like psychologically there's some sort of blockage, but when they play Bayern, either they put too much pressure on themselves, either individually they just think like, oh, this is huge, this is a big test, Nagelsmann is in the crowd, there's this, it's on television, Mataus is, I don't know how they approach it, but it looks like they just lose everything when they come to play Bayern. And because Bayern are so strong mentally, historically, then it's just you have that kind of opposition of mental strength almost that always goes Bayern way.
Champions League returns this week. I'm going to leave you with this question. Given that it's Tuchel, he's won it before, given that this, I use the word, more defensive version of Bayern that he can turn to can be effective in, you know, in the home and away format, how many teams do you say are clearly favored relative to Bayern to win the Champions League? I'll help you. Manchester City.
Yeah, for sure.
And then?
I don't know. I still think they can't go all the way if they don't improve collectively. I wouldn't think so either.
But when I think who is clearly above them, I did. It's the only one, because if they play Real Madrid, would I think Real Madrid would beat them? Probably. But I could also see this.
Yeah, but I don't imagine a good against Atletico Madrid, for example. Like not the Atletico that we saw at Las Palmas on Friday night. Like the Atletico we saw against Real Madrid in the league. I'm not sure this Bayern team breaks them down, and I think they get vulnerable on Atletico's counter or in Atletico's when Atletico have the ball. So I'm not sure. But yeah, no, I see your point. I think when you
but
have
they
Kane,
are in that mix.
Yeah, when you have Kane and Sané in that kind of form, you can beat anybody else on your day, but you can also get beaten by some really good structurally teams.
Leroy Sané, top 10 player in the world right now.
Yeah, he's outstanding.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, enough Classic Era. What a stupid name, by the way. Why don't you have your proud footballing nation?
What's wrong?
Get your own name for it.
Classico, Le Classique.
Yeah,
Classica.
Stop copying them. You don't need to do it. How about some quick hits?
Let's go, Gab.
Arsenal lose their unbeaten status, falling 1-0 to Newcastle. Jules, the big talking point is Anthony Gordon's goal that was allowed to stand, though many felt that, me felt that Bruno Guimarães should have been sent off and Kai Havertz could have been sent off too.
Yeah, so many things happened in that game, Gabby. The tension you could feel, the atmosphere on the pitch itself, not a good game at all, very physical. I thought Arsenal controlled it for most of it, certainly in that first half. Kai Havertz put a bit of a spice into it, certainly for that tackle on.
Should he have been sent off?
On Longstaff. I don't think for me, as long as his right foot doesn't touch Longstaff at all, it's his training legs that goes down and takes off and take out. So it's not red.
Bruno?
You just can't punch anyone. You cannot punch anyone in the head. Whether it's the back of the head, you can't just. No. Since when can you punch people?
but St. James Park, the Toon Army, the wonderful atmosphere up in.
I
think Bruno was fortunate.
I think he was
very lucky.
But
the big one. You were telling me how VAR was completely justified in helping in making sure that not overturning the call, making sure that the goal was disallowed, and that was never a goal, right?
I just don't think.
I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, I think I even see a handball from Joe Linton before Gordon gets the ball back. So I don't understand how VAR can't check the offside. It's beyond me. I don't understand when you have a system that is supposed to help you with
they
offside.
They don't have it, though. They don't have semi-automatic offside in the Premier League because the Premier League...
Okay, but this version of VAR can't do the offside on
this one. No, because they use cameras, and if players are standing in the way, they don't have the angle on it.
Exactly.
Now,
that's
some
bad.
Debate, some people will tell you that, oh, no, but UEFA, who do have semi-automatic offside, couldn't have used it either. It's to do with a chip in the ball, but I'm pretty sure, could stand to be corrected, the FIFA version that they use in the World Cup and the version they use in some leagues could have done it. Premier League decided not to have it this year because they're going to have more cameras. Well, obviously not enough cameras.
We agree that it looks like it's a push from Joe Linton on Gabriel.
It doesn't look like it is a push. It's two hands to the back. This is why the goal shouldn't stand. Like the other stuff... Ball going out of play,
you can't
determine it. By the way, there's an easy fix to the rules. Why do we have to have the whole ball? Why not just use the base of the ball and then you don't have this problem, right?
Yeah,
the base of the ball
in that instance is out.
The offside, whatever, it's tricky. Was he on? We just don't know. I don't know. You don't know. VAR doesn't know.
No.
Semi-automatic offside probably would know, but we don't have it. But for me, it's a push. And this is what really bugs me about this is... In the explanations we got, Dermot Gallagher writing on the Premier League website or doing whatever he does. He works for the Premier League, so obviously he's going to stick up for it. But he comes out and he says, well, even the language he uses, VAR didn't see enough in the push to overturn Stuart Atwell. No, VAR's job isn't to overrule the referee. It's all they can do is invite the referee to take another look.
He should have had a look. He should have had a look, 100%.
But he sees it once in real time. If he doesn't have a perfect angle, he's a human being.
Yeah.
Why not let him see it again?
I don't know why they didn't call him to the screen. It's beyond me.
Especially if this happens with some referees, you have the expectation like, oh, if I get this wrong, then the referee, VAR will sort it.
Yeah, exactly. And Gab Mikel Arteta had very harsh words after the game, saying that after 20 years living in England, he was embarrassed by the standard of refereeing that we have now. Arsenal doubled down the next day with a statement that they released saying that they were fully behind his words. What do you make of this?
So, look, I think Arteta went over the top, but then I might have done exactly the same thing speaking after the game.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to make it about the 20 years in this country and you're embarrassed, blah, blah, blah. I think this could get him in trouble and it's not going to win him friends. And you have to realize, as Arsenal manager, you have to do the interests of Arsenal. Does this do the interests of Arsenal? I'm not sure. I'm not sure the Arsenal statement does either.
But that's like Jamie Carragher said, he was honest, he said exactly how he felt.
Yeah.
Well, so you should say, well done to the referee, we lost the game, we deserve to lose the game.
No, you just say I disagree with the call and move on, because I think some referees, I hate to say this,
but this is a big game, are
going to be a little bit vindictive. That's you don't want to set yourself up for that. Manchester United bounced back from their League Cup defeat with a late Bruno Fernandes goal.
Oh.
Jules, the 3 points were big, but this really wasn't much of a performance.
It was not good at all. But hey, they've won before in the league, not being good and still getting the 3 points in the position that they were in.
This was worse than some games that they lost.
Yeah. Okay. Is it worse than the Brentford game? I'm not so sure.
Is it worse than the Newcastle game? Probably.
Yeah, probably as well. There's a lot of things missing in that team for sure. Rashford wasn't there, whether he was really injured or it was a sanction from him partying on his birthday after the City defeat. I don't know, but at least Bruno came good and big, and that's the most important for them. They'll take that and move on to the Champions League. Harry Maguire got a nasty bump when his head was smashed into Rodrigo Muniz's shoulder, and later looked quite dizzy after a headed clearance. Did it look like the whole concussion protocol was followed?
I have to believe, look, watching on television, it looks like, right, this guy can't come straight back on. But then I'm not a doctor. I'm not the doctor visiting him. I have to put my trust in the United doctor who puts Maguire's well-being and the rules ahead of everything else. So Maguire said, oh, he wasn't dizzy. He knew where he was at all times. He's fine. I don't know. Maybe he goes through life like that.
I don't know. Maybe he does.
But by the way, can I say something? All those people who said he's got no future at United, he'll never play again, blah, blah, blah. You can say this. Harry Maguire is proving them wrong. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the Did we just hit $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules. Jules, we ain't done. More quick hits.
Yes.
An injury time. Ronald Araujo goal gives Barcelona all 3 points away to La Real Sociedad. But Jules, they got very, very lucky.
They got battered, Gab, for most of the game. I mean, after 5 minutes, they could have been 3-0 down. La Real started the game so well, created chances. Then the game kind of evened up a little bit more. And you could see that what Pedri is going to bring to this team in terms of creativity and everything when he came back. But overall, they didn't deserve to win. It's one of those wins that remind you a little bit of last season.
When Marc-André Ter Stegen, man of the match.
Yeah, they won 11 times 1-0 last season. And again, this is a very 1-0 kind of last season result for them. But they won, especially on the back of the defeat in the Clásico. That was a huge game to win.
By the way, João Cancelo, somebody made the point on La Liga TV last night that like they haven't had a right back for like 8 years. And then suddenly they find one. And he plays him as a winger.
But you said to me after the Clásico, oh, he would never play back three again. I knew he would. I knew there was things that he liked in that back three.
But this is not necessary. I don't think you're going to see this again.
No, why not? Milan lose at home to Udinese 1-0 as Stefano Pioli plays a formation we'd never seen before, Gab. How badly did he get that run wrong?
Hugely. Now, I'm not
so like, bad. That
I don't too. Like criticizing people for thinking outside the box. And Milan do have a ton of injuries. And obviously, they have a huge game coming up against Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah,
and you're playing Udinese, who have zero victories this
They've
season
never won this
at
season.
Home.
Yeah.
So you figure, all right, this is the game. I'm going to throw a curveball, do something new.
Oh, but is he going to play like this against PSG?
No, he's not.
So why then?
Because he wanted to rest certain players and he figured against Udinese, this was fine. And so he starts Jovic and Giroud as like a double battering ram center forward, which means Leao plays further away, which means you've got Musa on the right, which might have been fine maybe if Udinese had decided to park the bus, but Udinese didn't. And they didn't create anything. Jovic was terrible. Something's really... He needs to find his way, right? And after the game, for the first time, he was really, really booed by the fans.
Yeah, the fans were not happy.
Is really, really big for them. Again, you got alibis, injuries, Teo again at the last minute, boo-boo.
I think nine players were out.
But still, it's Udinese at home, and he didn't help himself.
Yeah.
Luis Diaz scores a late emotional goal to help Liverpool get a point on the road at Luton. Jules, it was a touching celebration. But as Klopp said, not a great performance for his team. But can we give some credit to Luton?
Yeah, I mean, let's start with Luis Diaz, because you're right, he came off the bench, scored that header to make it 1-1 right at the end. Had a T-shirt under his kit saying, freedom for dad. Which was it was emotional. You just can't imagine what he went through the last week since his parents were kidnapped. For him to have that strength to play and to score, and hopefully what is being said from Colombia is that they're going to release his dad and that the guerrilla army that kidnapped him by mistake apparently as well are going to release him. So we see. I didn't think Liverpool played that badly. I thought Luton made the game hard for them because they were so aggressive, so physical, so good in transition, but Darwin Nunez should have scored 3 goals. I would have scored 2 of the chances that Darwin Nunez got. But
Mo Salah, I think he assumed Mo Salah was going to score with that header.
Yeah, but still.
And so he wasn't ready.
I know, but still.
By the way, I love the little reminders are still in the island. I forget whose commentary it was. They said like, oh, and you expect Darwin Nunez, the informed striker, not just in the Premier League, but in the world. I'm like, really?
Informed?
It's not... that English guy who plays for Munich who's the enforcer, but whatever.
So he was not great, but it's a game that I think their XG is like 3.3 or something like that. So
the club wasn't happy.
He was not happy.
He's not happy, I'm not happy.
I can understand, yeah. And to be fair, substitutions changed the game, so well done to him. On the other hand, Manchester City beat Bournemouth 6-1. Gabby, as Jeremy Doku bags one goal and four assists, becoming the younger players, I think, to get five goals involvement in a Premier League game. At 60 million euros, that was his transfer fee. It could be one of the signings of the summer.
Okay, so in my book, it's two goals and three assists, because I want to give him the goal that went to Akanji because it bounces off him. But yeah, and it's fine. Again, people are like, oh, what a find. Oh, he's unearthed a gem. Everybody knew who Doku was since he was 16.
Yeah, the reality otherwise, you don't pay 60 million.
Yeah,
if it's a gem uncovered.
Right, but then, you know, you look at this and it looks like a bargain compared to Mudrik and Antony and, you know, comparable players, right?
Yeah, but
the knock on Doku was twofold, right? About why he was available and why he was still at Rennes when he was 21 was, one is, he gets injured all the time. His hamstrings go because he's so fast. And two is, he's undisciplined. He dribbles too much. He doesn't understand football and so on, right? 2 months under Pep, he looks like he's been in his entire life. He's unselfish. He presses. He works hard.
In some games, there's a reason why he doesn't start the derby. There's a reason why he doesn't start Arsenal.
I think he doesn't start the derby because he's 21. That's I think he's phenomenal.
Because you don't control a game with Doku like you control a game with Bernardo Silva and Grealish.
They control this. He gives them something that's completely different that they haven't had since Raheem Sterling, right?
Exactly. But why Raheem Sterling was sold for a reason. You don't control games with Doku like
Raheem Sterling was sold because a year left on his contract and wanted a whole pile of
Doku
money.
Doku gives the ball away too much for big games. That's why. He's not ready for those big
games. Don't diss my Doku.
But he's fine. I love him too, but he's not ready. That's why he doesn't play those games.
Real Madrid are held to a 0-0 draw at home to Rayo Vallecano. Jules, not even Jude Bellingham, who looked like he suffered a shoulder injury, could get them over the line.
Yeah, no. And again, to be fair, it was not too bad from Real Madrid. They had some chances. But Rayo Vallecano gave them a good game. They moved the ball quite well when they had it. And there was just something missing. And when Jude is not there, he made the same runs, but the ball never arrived. I thought Camavinga was really good in that game, but it was not enough.
You don't talk about Camavinga every week. Valverde had a chance early on, one-on-one with the keeper.
Disappointing. Yeah, the 1v1, he scores that.
I'm not concerned. Real Madrid created a ton of chances. I'm not concerned. They did. Joselu could have had a hat-trick.
But there was still something missing.
Yeah, the goal, that's it.
Yeah, I don't know. Fabio Miretti scores his first senior goal and Juventus win away at Fiorentina 1-0, which means they're just 2 points off the top. Can they challenge for the title, Gabby, especially without any European competition? And where were the Fiorentina ultras?
So I'll answer the second question first. There's been a lot of bad weather and flooding in Tuscany. The Fiorentina ultras, and ultras love to get they get a bad rap everywhere, but actually in a lot of cases, they do a lot of wonderful things. A lot of them basically were part of the cleanup effort and volunteering, and they said, we would rather do this than go and cheer on this game, and they wanted the game moved. The game wasn't moved, and so they decided to continue with the cleanup. Honor to them. I should point out that both clubs wanted the game played, so that's why the game went ahead. Juventus, again, not an impressive performance. Get the early goal, hang in there. Fiorentina play beautiful football, but can't finish. You know what? Given if they had some money to spend in January, as long as they don't spend it on Calvin Phillips or Thomas Partey or these types of players that they've been linked with, given that they don't have European football, they're right
chance.
There.
Definitely. Agree.
Paris Saint-Germain played way back on Friday because they need plenty of rest and beauty sleep.
Of course they do.
With all those Champions League challenges they face.
Yeah.
And they beat Montpellier 3-0 with Warren Zaire-Emery scoring again. But Jules, what do they make of that statement released by Real Madrid about Kylian Mbappe?
Yeah, not much. Gabby, certainly what the club said and told me. He came in Chiringuito, who announced on Friday, I think it was Friday night in their show, that the deal was done for Mbappe to come to Real Madrid in the summer. And then the next day, the Madrid newspaper said the same with more details. And the guy who wrote the piece is very well connected at Real Madrid as well, like the presenter of El Chiringuito. So anyway, they responded with a statement saying there was nothing in all those rumors, blah, 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 which, okay, maybe it's not a done deal, but we know that obviously they've been...
Think he's going to Real Madrid?
I think...
Percentage-wise.
I think he's going to go to Real Madrid, as much as I would love him to obviously stay. Inter also stayed top in Serie A with 2-1 victory away to Atalanta in a really good game on Saturday. Gabi Inzaghi just keeps on going, and so does Lautaro.
This was a good game. 5 wins out of 5 on the road for Inter. Atalanta hadn't conceded a single goal at home. Lautaro, wonder goal. Calhanoglu, a man of the match performance.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Jules, it finally happened.
Finally.
Girona come from behind to beat Osasuna 4-2. And they're top of the table all by themselves
on their own.
La Liga.
On their own. An incredible achievement. It won't last, of course. I can tell you right now, they're not going to win the title. Even if a lot of them are thinking about, hey, let's do a Montpellier, let's do a Leicester. It's not going to happen. But they deserve credit, Mitchell and his teams, even when they're maybe not at their best only at the start of this game, they find a way of coming back.
They've got that confidence.
Sigankov, really good goal to finish it all off, to win. It's just that recipe that works. It's not a great fairy tale story because they're obviously part of the City group. We've said that before. They have players like Savio who they should never have. But you can't take anything away from what they produce on the pitch.
I'm going to be El Grinch here.
Okay, El Grincho.
And give you two underlying bits of information, data points that suggest that they will regress to the mean and tumble not just from first place, but out of the top four. One is they've played... You know how they've played two teams in the top nine this
That's
season?
True. That's
just
true.
Two.
Yeah.
And they lost one and they drew one.
Yeah.
Right?
They lost to Real Madrid.
And I think they drew whoever they drew against, right? That doesn't bode well.
No.
Secondly, they've scored 28 goals from open play this season. Their expected goals off that is like 19.4.
So yeah, it's not sustainable. No, that's
cool. It doesn't look like it's sustainable. Yeah. All right, that's all I want to say.
No, but it's still a great story.
It's fun. I mean, again,
well done.
It's fun to have them there. It's interesting. Again, it's not romantic, but it's fun. Okay. Well done, Girona.
It is fun. Big away win for Bayer Leverkusen, who let a two-goal lead slip at Hoffenheim before winning 3-2. Alex Grimaldo with a winner gap. 14 wins out of 15 for Xabi Alonso this season. But sometimes... they're their worst own enemies.
I really struggle with this, right? So they race up. By the way, Grimaldo, 5 goals this season.
God,
tremendous for a fullback.
Great.
But so they go 2-0 up. You're away from home against Hoffenheim. Hoffenheim are a good side. You know, they're a side pushing for Europe. And the Italian enemy says, dude, just manage the game.
Yeah.
You've got these fast guys up front. Yeah. Easy, right?
Easy, do a bind. Boniface.
But no. No, we play from the back. We are a footballing side, blah, blah, blah. This playing from the back, Radetzky and...
Who is that pass for, even?
I don't know, but inside of 2 minutes, all of a sudden it's 2-2.
Yeah.
And then you think, this is it. They're going to screw this up. They're away from home.
And they're under pressure.
It's a mortal blow.
Scored. Yeah, Weghorst has that kind of like reversed header.
By the way, no laughing at Weghorst anymore. But then Grimaldo gets the winner. So a little bit of rub of the green. But you know what? I come around to it. You have to play this game. This is your identity.
Yeah,
play this game in good times and in bad.
Exactly.
How about some love for Nice? Still undefeated. Off the top of my head, how many undefeated teams in the league in Europe this season? Not many.
Not many.
Bayer Leverkusen.
Yeah.
I think that might be it.
Tottenham, and that's it.
Oh, and Spurs, yes.
Yeah, for now.
For now, and they play Chelsea this evening.
Yeah, exactly. You got your boy, you're going to say?
My boy Francesco Farioli can do no wrong.
Incredible. I mean, Rennes were very disappointing. Very disappointing on Sunday night in Nice, but still eight clean sheets in 11 league games, Gabby. Again, I'm going to say, I say every week, they are the best defense in the big five leagues. They have never been behind in a league game this season. It's remarkable. The opposition is as average as Rennes were on Sunday, they don't even have to force themselves going forward. But Jeremy Boga was outstanding. So good. He scored the first goal. He was just an absolute like poison for the Rennes defense and the right back Asignon. And that was enough for them. They don't play the best of football, but they are so good collectively.
I'm not going to ask you to do a Nice Manchester United combined 11. I'm just going to ask you right now, who has the better back four?
Yeah, I would go with Dante and Todibo every single day.
Dante, who's 48 years old.
40 years old. He will turn 40 in October.
Right? He's checking.
Yeah. And Todibo, who United wanted.
Jean-Claire.
By the way. Yeah, exactly. Union Berlin lose again, Gabby. Since you wrote about them, it's even worse than before. You actually did. This time 3-0 at home to Eintracht Frankfurt. It's now 12 defeat in a row.
That's right. Omar Marmoush opening the scoring straight away. Like, they're 2-0 down early. And you know the way Union play, they're never going to get back into the game, right? Because they're not built for that. I don't know. This is mind-blowing stuff. It's almost as if, like, you know, Satan decided to punish them for all their good deeds in years past. And it's like, haha, you know, you appeal to all these hipsters and do-gooders around the world. We'll show you.
Look, have that now.
It's horrendous.
It is bad.
Leipzig soil the bed again, losing 2-0 away to Mainz.
I mean,
Jules, it's not what they wanted if they're getting knocked out of the German Cup.
Definitely not what they wanted, Gabby. And also, Mainz haven't been good at all. They second from bottom. They've changed their managers. Bo Svensson is gone. And yet, this was a completely terrible performance from Leipzig. And I just don't know. They need to pick themselves up because they have a big Champions League game coming up, of course. That could be massive for them going through. But it's just like, unless you get that consistency. And I thought Marco Rose had that this team was going to be more consistent. And that clearly shows it not.
It might have been different if Xavi Simons had that shot where I thought keeping a tremendous save.
But still. Yeah. It's not enough overall. Victor Osimhen is still out, but it's okay because Jack Raspadori is getting it done for Napoli.
How about that? I think he scored in his last three. They beat Salernitana 2-0, which is a derby after all. Though Salernitana are frankly terrible.
So bad.
Rudy Garcia was positively gloating after the game. He went to a press conference and he has a big smile and then he starts laughing. And one of the journalists says, like, what's so funny? He's like, no, I just made a joke to about my situation. It's like, really? What was that? I'd rather keep it to myself. It was a big smile. Like, yeah, let's see if you keep smiling.
Yeah, exactly.
We lavish praise on Atletico Madrid. And then, of course, what do? They just disappoint us. On Friday, they lose away to Las Palmas 2-1. Did we go over the top in our love for El Cholo and Cholismo 2.0?
I don't think so. But we said that defeat they had earlier this season away at Valencia would never happen again. That was an accident.
And then it happens again.
Yeah, and that has shades of that in the sense that they didn't play well with the ball. They had a couple of chances they should have taken. Riquelme, especially in that first half at 0-0, he didn't. And then they were asleep at the start of the second half and just conceded goals. And there was nothing, no fighting spirit, no fighting back. When finally they put a cross in the box, Morata scored, it was too late at the end. It's just, if they want to go and win the title, and we said they will be contenders, it's just not good enough.
I think you got to be really, with a game in hand, you can't drop points like this. Because you look at this, you say, like, my goodness, Girona are top of the table. It should be us.
Yeah, exactly. Gab, there definitely is such a thing as Mourinho magic. Romelu Lukaku misses an early penalty. Roma go goal down at home against Lecce. And then, in injury time, Azmoun equalizes. Then Big Rom nails the winner in the 95th minute, and the Eternal City goes ballistic.
This is unbelievable. If you can catch some of the scenes on YouTube, it's absolutely tremendous.
It's crazy.
Mourinho says it's Mu time. When you score. Wait, what?
They were terrible for 90 minutes. They were poor.
Let your heart to break down. They park the bus. They make it difficult for you.
I know, still.
Good news for them. Dybala is back. Dybala dispensing magic. Because if it was
ball for Romelu.
But yeah, obviously, if Lukaku scores the penalty, it's a different story. And you know what? This was pretty big because, look, I don't think Mourinho is going to get sacked because I don't think the Friedkins want to pay him off, and plus the fans adore him or whatever.
No, but will he get a new contract, though?
No, I don't think he will. Not unless...
He wants one.
Not unless they turn around very, very quickly. Oh, really? Oh, does he want one?
Yeah.
Oh, what about all those other teams? Well, what about Saudi offering him 10 billion zillion? I got to praise the Friedkins here. They were very, very clear on this. They said, we had a budget. We spent within our budget.
Okay.
Like, there's no reason for us to discuss extending your contract.
No, but for the budget, they need Champions League football next season, right? They need that money.
Yeah, and they're going to cut back further if he doesn't deliver it to them. Yeah. Simple as.
It's a big task.
Lyon are still dead last in the table. Some things are good for Texter. Some things are bad for Texter, our favorite former skateboarder. This is bad. At least Fabio Grosso's crew get a point.
No, don't give me that at least.
They don't lose.
They don't lose to Metz at home. I mean, in a terrible game where they got lucky in the end to get a point, and even the Met manager, Laszlo Bologna, remember Laszlo Bologna? After the game, you should have seen his face in his press conference, and we said, like, what's wrong? He goes, well, nothing, but I would have taken a draw before. Now, after playing this game, I don't understand how we didn't win. That's how bad Lyon are. And the problem I have, Gab, and I think I said it before to you, they are in complete denial. They keep saying the players, Grosso himself, we're not going to go down. We're too good. You know the famous, we're too good to go down.
They are too good
we're
to go
we're
down.
We're too good to go down.
Hector's not going to allow it.
They haven't.
He's going to go. He's going to go to Rennes and remind everybody, this is my stadium. I'll be back even if you beat me. Show up with a police escort.
They haven't won a game this season. If they cannot win at home against a team like Metz, I think they can definitely go down.
Right. They have a game in hand, right? Fabio Grosso wasn't fully fit after what happened last week.
Is I like this?
Okay.
I don't know. Right? I just think he's bad. But I don't want them to go down. I'm just saying, unless they get that kind of reality check and they finally realize that, yes, they can go down, it might never get better. That's what I'm saying. Rafa Benitez is very angry, Gab. His Celta side are held at home by Sevilla 1-1. And they denied the last-ditch penalty after Jesus Navas appeared to foul Anastasios Duvikas. And we saw Iago Aspas' reaction as well. Then he apologized.
Yeah. Okay. So first thing, Iago, I don't know how to tell you this, but if you don't like a VAR decision or non-decision, don't attack the monitor and throw it. Because it's not the monitor who does it. Definitely it's the people. It's the people who look at the monitor.
Yeah.
And I genuinely don't get this. I genuinely don't understand what happened here. It was 100%.
It was definitely.
It was 100% a penalty.
They got very badly done.
And yeah, I feel a little bit for Rafa because I think Celta are, you know, even with Rafa, when he gets on a roll, he gets a little bit big-headed.
Yeah.
But right now, Celta deserve more. They're much better than what they're playing better, and they're much better than what their lead position is, and they've been very unfortunate, and this is one of them.
Definitely.
Emma Hayes will be leaving Chelsea. Jules, we're both big fans. Where's she going?
Yeah, I mean, can we do the, how do you call that?
The drum roll?
Yeah, drum roll. She's going to the United States of America. Well done.
Where's she going?
She's going to take over and take the women's sides. For the near future, I don't know how long the contract will be. I think, listen, I don't think leaving Chelsea, which you've made, I mean, she has made the best team in the world, really, or certainly in Europe, and then...
Yeah, all those Champions League titles that they won.
Okay. Ooh. Well, them and Barcelona, okay. But she still made them very, very good. Unless you go to Barcelona, and I'm not even sure how much a step up that is, considering they are already with you the best team in the world. I think going to take over the U.S. women's national team is huge. And that's the step up that you could take, that maybe the only step up that you could take, apart from England, I guess, maybe. But that job is not available, so go for it.
Yeah, for me, it's really interesting because I don't watch a lot as much women's football as you do, but I do watch the World Cup, I do watch the Champions League. It seems obvious to me that the way her Chelsea team played and the way the U.S. women's team played, not just this last World Cup when they were disappointing, but the generation before, very, very different.
Yeah.
She's much more about technical ability. She's much more about tactical sophistication, whereas I thought the U.S. team was, in the past, was more about athleticism, more about directness.
But that's not enough anymore, as we saw in the...
It'll be interesting. It'll be really interesting how she adjusts. I mean, she's got an incredibly talented group of players, from Sophia Smith to whatever.
Trinity.
Trinity Rodman. So, good luck to her. In a different situation, I would be like, oh, this is like Ancelotti going to... And she looks a little bit like Ancelotti going to Brazil, right?
Exactly.
So, maybe that's the parallel.
Great. I can't wait. I think she's making the right call.
After they both win World Cups, we should organize a dinner. The two of us, Emma and Carletto.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, we'll sell tickets to
make
it.
Make that happen. Gab, deep down, you know how much I love all the Parisian teams.
Even Red Star.
Even Paris FC. And what do you make of what Paris FC have just decided to do? A bit like what we saw with Dusseldorf in the Germany second division. But Paris FC have decided to let every home game for the men and the women's team, and the women's team is better than the men's team, by the way, in the Champions League and in the league this season, for free. Everybody can go in for free.
Well, you mentioned Dusseldorf there. As Paris FC's own communique put it out, they were very specific. Like, this is unprecedented. Dusseldorf only does it with some tickets for some ticket. Games.
Exactly.
We're going to do it to everyone. Come on, come on.
At the Stade Charlety. Yeah.
I'm assuming they're going to have some ticketing system, though, where you have to register for ticketing. You can't just open your doors, right? Like, they draw about $3,500 a game, Paris FC. I'm going to guess that maybe at an average price of €20 a game. Does that seem reasonable?
Yeah, something like that. Maybe cheaper for the kids, even.
Are you looking at $70,000? If you can have more people in the stadium by not charging people, then the stadium holds, 12,000?
Yeah, a little bit more than that, I think. I've played there many times.
You know, it can work out, right?
Yeah.
Well, when you never count, you never stop to count all the seats while you were playing?
No, and at my time, there was not that many people anyway in there.
I get this. It's a bit of a PR stunt. It's a bit of a way. It's just a way to open up football, professional football, to more people, by all means. And the women's team as well. I mean, you know, you mentioned, we talked off air, they draw just under 1,000, we say.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So it's a positive one. Can you make it up with sponsorships or whatever? Yeah, if you can fill those seats, yeah, you can.
Exactly, yeah.
Tunisia, as we did, Casablanca won the first leg of the African Football League final, beating South Africa's Mamelodi Sundowns 2-1.
Yeah.
Jules, this is still wide open.
Wide open before the second leg. Gabby, you're right. There was not much at all in between the two teams. It's good. It's suddenly, the Copa Libertadores was played, obviously, over one leg.
Right.
Or one game, whatever you call it. There's some, and I like one final, like we see also in the Champions League in Europe. I also like the two-legged finals. I just like it. I like that you have the first leg, then you can adjust what happened in the first leg when you go back to the second leg and you're in your own stadium or you're away. Things like that. I think it's cool too. So I'm looking forward to it.
I don't like, I prefer the one-legged final.
No, I can understand.
I understand the why they don't it. The reality is, okay, maybe not so much, we died from, traveling from Tunisia to
South Africa.
That is a long way to go.
Yeah.
In Africa, you don't necessarily have it's not as easy to get around as it is in Europe, right?
Yeah.
So you want to make a two-leg so that both teams can have their full support behind them. It's not like, let's have a Champions League final in Paris or London where, all of Europe travels there. So I get that. I'm curious to see how this goes. And of course, these teams will show up and we'll see these teams again when the African Champions League starts, because of course, this is a totally separate competition.
Yeah, exactly. Pomigliano announced on Sunday that they will be withdrawing from Italy's women's top flight effective immediately. That means just now, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, now. Gab, what do you think?
I think that they did.
But they have no money left, or what?
No,
what?
It's not about money. It's about the penalty decision that they got against. They played Sampdoria this week, and there's 10 teams in the Italian top flight.
Yeah.
Pomigliano are one of them. Every other team is affiliated to a Serie A team. Pomigliano are not. It's a place that's in the south of Italy. It's near Naples. The club was founded in 2019. This guy got really excited about women's football, put money in. In his statement, he said, we're expected to hold up our end of the bargains. He mentioned that the league should be giving them more money, whatever. But the main reason he went on is the lack of respect and the officiating decisions and blah, blah, blah. I think you have to grow up. I love the fact that there are clubs that are women's only clubs.
I know, me too. We have
I don't like the fact. I really don't. It really bugs me that people think, the only way is to have Man City and Paris Saint-Germain and Barcelona and Chelsea and Milan, whatever, and they all have to have women's teams. And like, United, why don't you have a women's team? Because this influx of money destroyed a lot of women's teams who kept going and were really important for many years when things were tough, right? And it's also, and it was also good because they were surviving on their own, without needing to needing the support of men's football. However, Pomigliano is a little different. Pomigliano was founded, like I said, only four years ago. And you can't have this reaction to a refereeing decision. This is like a throwback to the 1960s and whatever.
I know.
I think they should grow up. I would be sad if they left. I'm sure they're going to rethink.
Yeah.
Yes. But you can't have people like that are going to get so emotional about this. You know, it would have been as if Arteta had said, that's it.
That's it.
I'm withdrawing Arsenal from the league. Jules, we were full of praise for Unai Emery and Aston Villa. So what happened when they hit that Nottingham Forest road bump?
Well, we've also said, Gabby, that they were very good at home this season, the best team in the league.
Nottingham's not that far from Birmingham.
It's not that far, but it's still not the same. And they struggle a little bit more on the road, especially when Emi Martinez, the best goalkeeper in the world, blah, blah, blah.
According to who?
Yashin.
According to the Ballon d'Or voters.
The Yashin trophy winner makes a huge mistake. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Really?
That set the tone.
Yeah, so that doesn't help either. It doesn't help when you have an off day. Let's just hope for them that it doesn't happen too often. Talking about the Ballon d'Or, UEFA will partner with France Football, who give up the Ballon d'Or, as you know, every year. I know you love talking about it. So you must be delighted that UEFA have decided to partner with France Football on this.
Well, I think it's the other way around. I think it's France Football who partnered with UEFA in the same way that a few years ago, of course, they partnered with FIFA, right? Remember back when there was only one award, when like the FIFA the Best award wasn't there, and it was the FIFA Ballon d'Or. I don't know if this is now going to be the UEFA Ballon d'Or. I don't know the implications as well, because, you know...
What does it change?
Well, I mean, for starters... I don't think they have a requirement that you need to play in Europe anymore, right?
No. Yeah, of course. An MLS player won this year, so.
So, UEFA is the governing body of European football?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to... It's Felipe Melo, who is... This probably won't happen, but just a side thing. Felipe Melo won the Copa Libertadores. Yeah. You know, what if he comes back to the Brazilian national team, wins the Copa America and the World Cup in his mid-40s? Again, won't happen.
And yeah.
Scores 500 goals, can... Is he eligible to win?
Of course he is, like Messi was.
Right, but it's a UEFA award, and UEFA are the governing body of European football, even though he's not in UEFA. Or better yet, or Karim Benzema, or Cristiano. I mean, I don't know why we need to go and do this. UEFA are going to say, look, it's French, and it's just across the border from us, and it's French football. Yeah, but it's a global award. It's become a global award, right? It just feels a little weird.
I don't know.
I don't know. It seems to me... The other thing is, why do... France football need UEFA, right? I mean, if the Ballon d'Or is so successful and so important.
Financial support, maybe logistical support. I don't know.
I don't get it. Stade Rams won away to Nantes 1-0. Jules, it would be a great opportunity to praise cult hero Ginger Child manager Will Still, but he was suspended. So what do you do if Still's not around?
Well, you've got a second Still.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Nicolas, his younger brother, is 26, who was on the bench on Sunday, he won the game.
Does he actually tell people, my name is Nicolas Still, because he's a francophone? My name is Nick Still, or Nicky Still, or Nicolas
Nicolas,
Still.
I think he likes Nicolas.
He goes by Nicolas.
I think he likes Nicolas, yeah.
So is Will Still Will?
Will?
Yeah. I love this.
But great, he was on the touchline, he was gesticulating, all of that, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I mean, he's apparently very smart, very bright. He was in Belgium before. And now got sacked, I think. So join his brother in the summer with the other brother. So the three Stills are now...
What's the other brother's name?
I can't remember now.
Wait, does he have an English name that you pronounce in a French way for no reason whatsoever?
The three brothers, for sure.
Okay.
There might be just two of them. I can't remember. But anyway, Nicolas, well done. He was on the bench. Good first win for him as a Stade de Reims kind of manager, if you want. And good, they're fourth in the table. You know, they're going to qualify. They're going to make it to Europe.
So he's 26.
They're really good.
Will is 29?
30 now, I think. He turned 30.
Oh, he's older than Farioli then.
No, Farioli is 34, no?
Oh, yeah, you're right. He is 34, yeah. But still.
It's still amazing, to be fair. We'll see. Turned 31 in October, October 14th, yeah, so... Here we go. Well done to them. Mircea Lucescu, talking about not so much young manager anymore. Old manager is leaving Dynamo Kiev, Gab. Will we see him again on a bench somewhere? He's 73 now, something?
78 years old.
Wow.
Look, I mean, the man is a legend. And the fact that I don't, off the top of my head, obviously he managed Brescia when they were in the second division, won the Serie B title. I don't think that he's ever managed... in any other of the big five leagues, but what a career he had. He won 7 league titles as a player with Dinamo Bucharest. Yeah. Then he's won league titles with Rapid Bucharest, with Galatasaray, and then the following year with Besiktas. And then, of course, he made his name in those great Shakhtar Donetsk teams with Fernandinho, with Willian.
Yeah.
He won 8 league titles there. He won 6 cups. Then he goes to Dinamo, wins the league, then the war breaks out, decides he's going to stick around. I mean, this is a man in his 70s in a war zone. It's obviously somebody who lived for football. I don't know his reasons. Some people say it's to do with the team doing badly. Maybe he feels he can help more. Maybe also, you know, as Rocky Balboa says, father time is undefeated. The man is 78 years old.
Yeah.
I think the Warriors are allowed to rest now.
I know.
Arsenal's under-18 team, coached by Jack Wilshere. Yeah, who's older than Will still, I think.
Yeah, he is.
They were facing their counterparts from Brighton this past weekend.
Yeah.
How did they get on, Jules?
Not really according to plans, Gabby, because they never played the game. And you know why? Because on their way to Brighton, they actually didn't end up in Brighton. They ended up in Bournemouth, way further down the coast. Clearly, somebody put the wrong postcode, or the wrong address in the sat-nav.
Okay, so for those who aren't here...
It starts by B. Both of them start with B.
Yeah, but okay. So for those who don't live in England or are unfamiliar with the Scepter Dial, Brighton and Bournemouth, as you mentioned, are both on the south coast of England.
Yeah.
They're both south of North London, which is where Arsenal are from. They're about 90 miles apart from each other.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not close.
No, it's not close.
And what I don't understand is you have a bunch of teenagers
on the bus.
You have Jack Wilshere, who I believe is from London as well, right?
Yeah.
He's Arsenal born and bred, yeah?
Yeah.
And presumably he has a staff and everything, and Jack Wilshere's still relatively young. All these people, like, nobody has their phone out. Nobody looks at their phone.
I don't know, maybe they are somewhere. They were preparing for the game. They were focused.
Well, somewhere for the two-hour bus ride down, like...
Maybe they were asleep. Maybe they were... So where I agree with you, it's probably like... It would take you an hour and a half maybe to go to Brighton from North London and 3 hours to go to Bournemouth.
Maybe so a little less than 3 hours, but still.
Yeah, but like, not much less. So on a bus, not in the car, on a bus.
Right.
So let's say after an hour and a half, do you think like, should not we be arrived by now?
Shouldn't we like, shouldn't we've been here arrived? Before? Shouldn't the window look different?
I think we drove past the Brighton sign or something.
This
remember some
pawn.
Fans who went to the wrong... There were some fans who went to the wrong... wasn't it Benfica fans or something in the Champions League 1 year? They went to the wrong team that had two teams that had similar names. They went to the wrong one. But at least it was the same name. This time it's Bournemouth and Brighton. Come on.
I blame VAR for not correcting this. Stuart
too.
Atwell, do better.
Me too. Howard Webb. Red Star Belgrade went into the record books this weekend, mm-hmm. Gabby. In which way?
They beat Radnik Surdulica.
Nice pronunciation. And,
thank you. This means that they matched the legendary Real Madrid side of Alfredo Di Stefano, Puskas, Gento, and Santa Maria.
Yeah.
121 games undefeated at home in the league. Their last home defeat was in 2017 when they lost 3-1, the big derby against Partizan at the Maracana.
Yeah.
And December 10th, set your watches. Apparently, that's the next home game. I have no idea why. It's like a month away. I guess it's an international
So 121
break.
Home games in a row?
In the league, yeah.
In the league, unbeaten.
Wow. And they're playing Mladost Lukani. If somebody wants to sponsor us, I think we should go to Belgrade and be there for that game.
Yeah, I'm in.
I've never been to Belgrade, so
I've been delighted. To Belgrade. Yeah, France play there.
I'd be delighted to go and witness history. Fluminense beat Boca Juniors to win the Copa Libertadores. As John Kennedy, no relation as far as I know, scores the winner in injury time and then gets sent off. Jules?
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere was amazing, obviously, in Rio for this game. Better than what we saw on the pitch, I'll give you that, because Fluminense and Fernando Diniz, their head coach, played nice football. Boca, we can't really say the same about them. So not the best of finals.
Boca, who went through on penalties in like every round. You knew it was always going to be grinded out.
Yeah, German Cano, who's an Argentine striker at Fluminense, who scored the first goal of Fluminense, scored 13 goals in the Copa Libertadores this season. Boca, together, scored 12. So German Cano on his own scored more than Boca. Shows you that Boca are not, even with Cavani up front, the most lethal team. And in the end, I think Fluminense and Marcelo, who became the 15th player to win both the Champions League and the Copa Libertadores. If we had time, I would ask you to name all the other 14.
But we don't.
Although I'm sure you could find many of them. But what an achievement for him. Well done to him.
Shout out to Marcelo, by the way, who said that this means more to him than all those Champions League titles he won.
Real Madrid would understand.
Can we give a shout out, by the way, to Boca, the one goal Boca did score? Luis Advíncula, fastest Peruvian in the world.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that in honor of LME.
Of course. Gab, we haven't talked enough about John Textor. So here we go. He's been banned for a month for his comments about the referee and the corruption in the Brazilian league after his Botafogo team lost to Palmeiras 4-3. Remember, we mentioned it on Thursday's show.
So you can go on YouTube and
it's remarkable.
See the remarkable. Foul for which the guy was sent off. Personally, I think it's fair enough, especially because he's got a teammate. The guy who gets fouled has got a teammate in the middle of the area. So whatever. But he says, this is corruption. This is, bad word, corruption.
Yeah.
You can fine me. You can suspend me. It's my stadium. I'll still be here.
Yeah. Dude, he was on the pitch as well. Like, owners should not be on the pitch after a game like this.
But the really stupid thing in all this, other than, you know, that I don't know, screws are coming loose. And John, like I said, we're always here for you. We can help you out here. Leon, we'll share experience.
Anything.
You make the decisions. But the crazy thing is they were 3-1 up, right, when this guy got sent off. And then they had a penalty, which they missed.
Yeah.
And then they conceded three goals after the 84th minute. So when that happens, don't make it all about the red card, because it's not all about the red card. It's about not being able to defend a two-goal lead for 6 minutes and not being able to convert a penalty.
Exactly.
Right? It's basic stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Jules, this brings us to an end. But guess what? It's one of those weeks. It's the champions.
Yes!
How about that? We're going to be back on Thursday. Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.